I have back on the podcast my first ever guest, and that is Luke Easter.
Luke, hello, sir.
Thanks for joining the podcast yet again.
Of course.
We know each other better this time. We didn't know each other at all. Yeah. Oh. We're best friends forever.
We've met in person.
So yeah.
We're legit actual friends.
We went on a date and everything, and it was awesome. Yeah, we got to hang out. So fortunately for people that kind of keep up with you, they know that you moved to Nashville not too long ago. How are you liking that?
It's good. Anywhere that is not California is preferable, but Nashville is definitely, it's good for us. We like it here.
Something's wrong with California?
Everything's wrong with California.
I've not heard this.
It'll be on fire in another couple of weeks because it's fire season.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine. There's no way I'd want to live out there. I don't think I could afford the taxes.
Yeah, we were there. Callie had a teaching gig out there for a week. She's a Montessori teacher, but she also she teaches other Montessori teachers. And so she had a gig out there for a week. So I went and we were there for 10 days. And like after the first four, I was like, I just want to go home. I don't like it here anymore.
You don't feel you're not homesick or anything like that?
I'm really not. I mean, it's only been a few months, but I'm really not. I miss my friends, you know, but
you're making new friends too. So that's cool.
Friends. And, you know, I got to see my friends when I was out there. Chris is coming out here in a couple weeks, you know, so, you know, and I've got other friends. I mean, a guy that I grew up with lives 10 minutes up the road from me. So, you know, it's all good.
Who are some of the folks that you've gotten to connect with now that you're in Nashville that you're getting to hang out with or just do things? I know you're doing things over with Pastor Bob and
his place. We've connected with some of the sanctuary people. There was another sanctuary gathering last night. So, you know, like Laverty and Ochoa and Pastor Bob, seen Jamie Rowe a couple times and hung out with him and his wife, his producer, Jamie Perrineau. We've gotten to meet up. Just a lot of different people. You know, I can't even off the top of my head, I'm like, who else? But even just like, just a lot of nice people, you know, even the sanctuary gatherings are open to the public. You know, anybody who wants to come can, you know, contact Laverty or somebody and get the address. So, you know, a lot of just people, you know, non-band people show up.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've all been really cool too. You know, people are just nicer here, which is weird.
Right.
California,
the South.
You just walking through the supermarket and somebody just like, hi. And you're like, dude, why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
You know, if you did that in California, you'd get throat punched.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. The South. I'll notice that too. Just living here, I'm like, people just wave at people. No reason sometimes. Yeah. Just be nice.
You're alive today.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Bless your heart.
Yeah. That was one thing that's really cool. I'm hoping to make it to those events that Pastor Bob, is that something he's trying to do like monthly right now?
As I understand it, it'll be the first Saturday of every month moving forward.
What do they kind of do at these events for people that haven't gone? It's like a one day thing.
So when we first moved, they had just started it back up. So that was in April. And that one was more of it was like early afternoon, and it was basically a barbecue and then a brief worship time, and Bob spoke for a little bit and then everybody dispersed. And it went well enough that they basically rearranged the entire, it takes place, they have like a barn where they run their homeless ministry out of, where Sanctuary does all their homeless outreach. So it had like shelves and whatnot, was kind of set up like a warehouse. But they cleared all the shelves out and moved things around so that they can still have all the storage and whatnot that they need, but have a big like multi-purpose space in the center.
Yeah.
You show up and there's usually barbecue. They ask people to, you know, bring drinks and side dishes, and everybody hangs out and eats for a while, and then, you know, whatever band Jim has put together gets up and, you know, worship time, and then Pastor Bob speaks, and then everybody just hangs out until they're ready to go.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's cool that he's got a community like that everyone can come together and And it's not just restricted to, okay, you had to be assigned, you know, on attendance records or whatever it was, might be. But yeah, that's pretty cool that they have that community there like that. And so many people are living in Nashville these days too, from the industry.
There's more moving in all the time. So
yeah, kind of, I guess since we last spoke, and I feel like I know the answer, but any new music on your end in the works at all?
I know, I mean, I've been saying this almost since Pop Disaster came out, that I was writing a follow-up and that I want to do a full length. I'm officially in the final stages of that. I think I've got all of the music written. I just have to finish up the lyrics and then work it out with Chris. We'll figure out how we're going to, because when we did the Pop Disaster, I just lived up the street. So we would do all the vocals and grid everything out, and he'd play out, you know, the bulk of the guitars, and then we'd send it out to everybody. Now I'm on the other side of the country as well. And partly just, I mean, we like hanging out, so it's part of it, but it's also just because, like, a lot of the vocals and stuff, the different parts, we're making them up as we go, you know. Ooh, this harmony would sound cool here. Let's try that. Now we don't like that. Do it this way. Okay. Yeah. That worked. You know, can't really do that if you're not in the same room. So that's going to be the challenge on this one. I'm a horrible engineer, so I wouldn't trust myself to mic myself and get it right. But also I know that it wouldn't be as good if we're not in the room. So
And you said he's coming in town pretty soon, you said?
Yeah, he's coming in a couple weeks.
Is that to also work on stuff like that when he comes to town, or just to hang?
Just to hang. You know, he wants, you know, like I said, my other friend Kurt moved out here about a year ago, and, you know, he basically wants to check on us and see, you know, where we live and where everything is. His son has never been to Nashville before. He's our godson. Okay. So he'll come out as well. So it'll be cool. I mean, it'll be Chris and his wife and our godson.
All the stuff, is it still the same kind of genre, would you say, from Pop Disaster, or a little bit different at all?
It's too early to say. I mean, I want it to be different, because I don't want to make the same record, but I don't want it to be so different that, you know, people go, ew, we don't like this. And honestly, I mean, I am a big, you know, mid 80s to early 90s, you know, hair metal, pop rock, hard rock guy, mm-hmm. as much as I'm a pop guy. And I'd kind of like to lean into that a little bit, but I have a feeling that even though that's kind of where I'm trying to push things, I mean, even just the way that I'm writing the music and stuff, the riffing is different. There's more parts that move as opposed to just being, you know, chug, chug, chug. But I have a feeling that even if I just tried to do a Bon Jovi by number record, by the time it was done, it would sound more like power pop than, you know, hard rock. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle is where I'd like to land. You know, 80s enough that it scratches that itch, but power pop enough that it's still me.
I don't know if I mentioned this before to you, but that your first solo album, well, you only have one, but I know you came out with a song later, but at points, it sometimes, like, it kind of reminds me of Bowling for Soup stuff. Does anybody ever? Yeah.
I really only know like two songs by them.
I don't know a whole lot. Yeah.
And I know Stacey's Mom. The Bad Boys. Oh, it's Stacey's Mom. No, it's Stacey's Mom. That was Mom?
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm thinking of VST. But yeah, they, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if you ever heard that before, but I thought it just popped in my head because I remember thinking that when I first heard it, and it kind of had a little bit of that.
Nobody said that before, but I think the melodic sensibility is similar. And I know, like on Girl All the Bad Boys Want, if I'm not mistaken, Butch wrote that. And he produced it.
Yeah.
So there's,
I've always worked with chasing, so many,
kind of, you know, what would Butch do? You know, I don't want to mimic Butch, but I love his body of work. I mean, going all the way back to South Gang and
Butch,
all the way
Butch
up
Walker.
To,
yes, anybody Butch wondering? Walker. Butch Walker, who lives in Nashville. Franklin.
I'm going to low key stalk him.
Have you figured out his address to stalk him yet?
And I mean, I'm joking when I say that. Please don't.
Sure you are. This podcast will be used as evidence in court one day.
I've met him twice and I have photographic evidence. So that will be my defense. We're old friends.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's all of it. I mean, and even like, you know, the new Marvelous 3 stuff that's coming out, which I'm really excited about. He has such a diverse, you know, body of work and touches on so many different styles. But through all of it, he's got this melodic sensibility that, you know, you hear it and it's like, that's Butch Walker, you know? So they're big shoes to try to fill. You know, it's a really high bar to aspire to, but, you know, hopefully in my own way, I can put together something that, you know, at least comes close, you know, even if I don't hit the mark, you know, I just, you know.
Yeah. Are you wearing a Butch Walker shirt?
I actually am. Yeah.
I just noticed. I saw the Butch. Yeah. I'm, people out there may not know who we're talking about, but, Walker, I've been a fan since Marvelous 3. I didn't really follow along with the solo stuff because it slowed down a lot with his songwriting. Where Marvelous 3 was just like this in your face power pop rock kind of a lot of energy, and
his solo stuff, Left of Self-Centered, still had a very, you know, Marvelous 3 kind of,
yeah,
know,
was that the it. First one
that was the first one,
yeah, it was very Marvelous 3-ish. But that's the cool thing for us Marvelous 3 fans, that they do have a new album coming out. And I know I sent you, I don't know how, if you'd heard it before I sent it to you, but the cover of Sheila, which is one of my all time favorite songs anyways. And that band's from Atlanta too, the producers. So they do a cover.
I think we had talked to you about this before and you know, you were saying, I just wish he would do another Marvelous 3 record. And I'm like, it's not going to happen. I really did not think it would happen. And then, yeah, I mean, it was like the worst kept secret down here. They hadn't
done anything.
And we had lunch with Jamie and Amber, and he's like, you know, I was wearing probably actually the same shirt. Mm-hmm. Like, they're Butch. Jamie's like, you know that they just finished a new Marvelous 3 record, right? They're putting the finishing touches on it. They're about to announce it. I'm like, that's the announcement.
So, and now they just did a. For people are like, who cares whoever this band is? I'm telling you, if you've never heard Ready, Sex, Go, that's their last album. And then
the Hey album.
And I've got all three, but the Hey album had the song Freak of the Week.
I can't remember live at some point.
Yeah. Oh man, that's another song that I listen to. It never gets old. Let me ask a fun little question. I'll throw mine out real quick. So just to kind of set up this, songs that you can listen to that never get old, you can listen to over and over. Okay, so one, I got Bohemian Rhapsody, Freak of the Week, Sheila by the producers that they covered, Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen. Well, I'm dead serious.
Hey, you know, it's a good song.
I'm trying to think. I know there's something else in there. Oh, Tal Bachman. Is it Tal Bachman? She's So High. Mm-hmm. You know, She's So Lovely.
That's one. If I never heard it again, it would be too soon.
Oh, good gosh.
Over that song.
Oh, man.
It's not a bad song, but it was just played to death. And I just.
Well, that's how I feel about, like, Nevermind, that whole album with Nirvana. I'm like, in most Foo Fighters, as much as I love them, they've been so overplayed. I'm sick. But anyways, what is your list? If you could put some songs out there that you could think on top of your head, you never get sick of.
Living on a Prayer. Get the Funk Out.
Is that
from Extreme?
Extreme, yes, thank you.
Who else? I had one on from that same era that She's So High. Monkey Wrench from Foo Fighters. I could put that on a loop and just listen to Monkey Wrench all day. He Sells from Megadeth. That song never gets old.
Mm-hmm. But who's buying?
Yeah. Nobody, evidently.
Yeah.
Ask Ukraine. I don't know. That's a good question. I'd have to think about it to come up with more, but they would all probably land squarely in the late 80s to early 90s.
Yeah.
Calling on Striper.
Oh, yeah. That'd be my Striper. That's my favorite Striper song. Calling on You, and one that probably is surprising as Believe. Off of In God We Trust, the piano song. That's one of the most beautiful songs. I love that song. Michael's voice when he sang like a really high sounding girl, you know. I was going to ask you, since you brought up Extreme, you know, are there any new albums? Like Extreme's got the new album. What do you think about the new stuff or anything that's come out that you've got to get into?
Well, I've been focusing on learning the Reign of Glory stuff. Getting that gig, it's a cool opportunity, but the timing was really crazy because we're in the middle of packing and moving, and so my bandwidth was really, really focused on that and staying on top of my job, because I work remotely. So it's really only the past month or so, probably 2 months, that I've really, really been knuckling down and trying to learn it. And it's not that they're that difficult, but I've never had to learn. Well, I shouldn't say never. I haven't had to learn that much of someone else's material in one go since I was in, you know, so it's been 30 years. And, you know, part of me is like,
do you remember how much stuff you had to learn with Tourniquet when you first came in?
I think there were 4 songs off of Stop the Bleeding, 4 songs off of Psycho, and then another.
But you were more familiar because you were a fan of it. And
I knew some of them.
You knew it a little bit more.
It's weird because I was a fan, but I wasn't like the uber fan who knew all the words, you know. I that I liked.
Tourniquet has some terminology that would be difficult, I would think, to learn.
Not easy words to
read. You didn't have an iPad back in the day where you could just. Are you going to have to probably do that with this show? Probably have like an iPad or cheat sheet.
Not old yet. No.
Yeah.
No. I'll know the words.
That's good.
I will be.
You don't want to be that awkward guy up on stage. Just can't. You can't move around because you're too busy trying to.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, if I was, you know, if it was a shoegaze band and you just like stand there and look at the floor the whole time, I'd just bring my Mac and just, you know. But, you know, I like to run around a little bit. I like to interact with the crowd. So, you know, I would get lost even if I had some kind of, you know, teleprompter or cheat sheet or something.
Yeah. You might have to repeat a line or two because you forgot the line.
Look, if you're the Stones and you're like 8 billion years old and you've got like a 60 year body of work and half the time you're working without a set list, you know, I shouldn't say working without a set list, but half the time you're just throwing the set list together before the show because you don't want to play the exact show you played the night before. Yes, by all means, use something.
That's what Metallica is doing now too. Like, they're not playing the same songs every.
Yeah.
So, that's really cool.
Like, if I heard that, well, I would kind of be shocked if James was using, you know, a teleprompter, because
right, yeah,
he's that good. But at the same time, they're also not as young as they used to be, and they've got a really huge catalog now. And I mean, if you asked me to rattle off, you know, lyrics from, you know, from the band's old albums, without a track, I wouldn't know. I can't recite Tourniquet lyrics, but
once the music gets going, it helps. Yeah,
muscle memory. Yeah, you know, even like some of the timing on them. You know, that it wasn't that I really. I mean, I knew the lyrics. I could sing them all, but, you know, I just can't, you know, recite them off the top of my head. But there was some of them that they would be arranged in such a weird rhythmic pattern that didn't even really feel like words. It was literally just the phonetics over. It's like, oh, there's that roll, so now I say that part.
You can just be like Vince Neil and just who knows what he's saying at this point. Just be like, hey,
They did a surprise gig in London last week. Have you seen any of that?
Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
Is that the one where he's not singing in right? Like, I heard on Eddie Trunk that there's footage of him now, events where the microphone's not even near him, and you can.
That's from the arena singing.
So what's this one then? What's going
they
on
did,
with this?
They did a pop-up date. They flew in. They were playing in London, I think at Wembley. with Def Leppard, you know, their big, you know, European tour, and booked a club gig, you know, just a one-off club gig.
Really?
You know, so it was one of those things where, you know, you'd have to be a fan to know that it was Motley Crue, because they didn't even use their name.
They yeah, yeah, a lot of bands will do that.
As Dogs of War, and had the umlauts over the O in Dogs.
Okay.
And packed the place out, and, you know, it's a tiny club, and it looks really great, and then Vince starts singing. And I'm a Crue fan from, you know, all the way back to the first album, but live Vince is just,
yeah, it's bad.
I'm glad.
I'd still go see him though. I've never seen him live, but
I wanted to go to that big stadium tour when the last year,
mm-hmm.
at the last minute we could have had tickets, but I just couldn't swing it around.
Yeah.
Work and everything.
Well, it was expensive,
but I'm
too.
I'm kind of glad that, well, a friend of a friend had bought tickets through a broker and wound up with 3 or 4 extra tickets.
Okay.
And it was literally like, you know, like from me to the computer from where Six was playing.
Yeah. You
know, which I would have lost my mind. She sent me a piece of video. She's like, "This is how close we are." Kelly won't even watch it. Like, no, I don't want to know. I can't watch it.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. I've never seen Motley Crue live, so I
only saw him with Krabby.
Oh, right. I think we talked about that.
And Crab singing. Can't beat that.
Yeah. I think because I think me and you discussed that originally, and I went back and listened to that album because I never really gave it the time of day. And I'm like, this is actually a really good album.
It's their best album.
Yeah. I really do enjoy it. Now I listen to it more. And this whole, like all this stuff with Mick Mars and Motley Crue, I mean, it's a mess. I hate that. I wish Mick Mars, I wish he could get his stuff out that he's supposedly has a solo album, you know, wherever, but
he's shopping labels. I mean, it'll see light of day, but
yeah,
I mean, I'll listen to it. I can't wait to hear it.
I would love to. Yeah.
But yeah, it's sad that they've come to this. But I mean, I think it was Oscar Wilde that said that the only thing worse than people talking about you is people not talking about you.
Yeah.
It might not have been Oscar Wilde, but somebody,
you Oscar know, Meyer, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Oscar Madison. But you know, it's kind of true, and the Crue kind of embodies that if you think about it. I mean, everybody's been talking about them nonstop since 83. Mm.
Yeah. Let me go back to the Reign of Glory thing. So for people maybe that are not familiar, they are, but to kind of bring them up, the Reign of Glory is a project that came about, well, that album came out, I guess last year, but, and I dig it, came out on Rox Records, if I'm not mistaken. It's Nick Layton on guitar, Roger Del Martin on bass, Jim, is it Chaffin or Chaffin? How do you say it? Chaffin on drums, and then originally on lead vocals, I'm going blank on his name.
Robin Kyle.
Yes, Robin Kyle, who did stuff with PK Mitchell, but also was in Red Sea, and then Die Happy.
Yeah.
So he was originally supposed to do the gig, and for whatever reason, he's not able to. And so they asked you to step in and do this gig, which is the first, because there's two of them this year, but the first of the events up in, is it Versailles, Ohio?
Versailles, yes.
Versailles, Ohio. And is it just 2 days for that weekend too, for the for the shows?
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. I'm going blank on the name of the event. Why am I going?
Immortal Fest.
Yeah, Immortal Fest. Thank you. And I'm getting old. Yeah, but Immortal Fest. Do you know the other bands playing that weekend? I know Deliverance.
I think Human Code is the same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Disciple. Want to say Theocracy.
Theocracy is playing. That's a band I'd love to see, man. I don't know if you're into that them or if you ever listen to them, but
I've only heard a couple songs.
Really good power metal band.
Huge Dream Theater fan. And so somebody that knows that I like, or well, I was a huge Dream Theater fan until Mike Portnoy left.
See, I like Mangini too. But
I like Mangini, but they're, it, it, they're a perfect example of a band being more than the sum of their parts, you know. So you plug in another, you know, hotshot drummer who, you know, is super technical and can pull all that stuff off, but there's, in my opinion, there's no like heart to
it. Portnoy's I'm trying to think of the word to say, but just his presence, his personality makes up a lot too.
It comes through in his music.
Yeah.
You know, everything he does. I mean, I don't not like his post Dream Theater stuff, but I don't like his post Dream Theater stuff enough to be a big fan of it. But that spark that's missing, in my opinion, from the later Dream Theater stuff is totally at play in all of the other things that he's done.
See, I love the Neil Morse band and him playing in that. I don't know if you've listened to any of that stuff, but oh man, you've got to listen. You Neil Morse band with him in there and the other guys, it's such a talented band.
He's one of my favorite drummers. I mean, he's
awesome.
He's not, I mean, there's no such thing as the best, you know, at anything in music, but you know, he even with that, I wouldn't say that he's the best even in his genre. I mean, he can get a little repetitive sometimes.
Yeah, I can agree.
Live, he keeps everything going, but I've, you know, seen live stuff where, you know, he can get a little sloppy here and there, but he's very creative. And he's not just about the drums. He's about keeping the musicality going. And and he's just got this huge personality. And he's just a big music fan, you know.
Yeah.
And
he likes Marvelous 3. Or just discovered Marvelous 3, didn't he? Yeah, so that was really crazy and cool. Okay, so going back to Reign of Glory. Because we went on a rabbit trail there. A rabbit hole. But so when is that event going to be that you're performing?
I think we played July 23rd.
Wow, that's coming up. So it was like three weekends, almost 4 weekends from now.
Yeah, 22
no
days.
No pressure. Counting. Are you nervous at all?
I'm more nervous about remembering all the, you know, the words. Again, because I haven't learned, you know, even
well,
like
you haven't rehearsed. You guys live different places. So it's really a big task to take on short time.
I never did the cover band thing, and I started playing in Tourniquet when I was 22. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't have this big, you know, knack for learning all these covers, and, you know, not that this is a cover band thing, but it's similar because it's not like material that either I was already, you know, really familiar with. You know, as a fan for a couple of years. And it's not a thing where it's material that I helped work up, and so it's not as much about memorizing as it is about, you know, just kind of refreshing the memory a little bit, because this is stuff that I helped develop. This is me cold, you know, learning somebody else's, you know.
I'm not a fan of doing that either with drumming.
It's not that I'm not a fan, it's just it's a different challenge.
Yeah.
Anything that I've had to do before. So I'm not nervous, because at the end of the day, you know, if you're a musician, you're a musician, you know. It's just what you do. You know, I'm not nervous, you know, when I have to do a layout or something, you know, for somebody for my day job. That's what I do. I do graphic art. But you know, I know that there's a lot of people in that fan base that are going to be, you know, watching and be very, you know, aware of what's going on. I don't want to not pay the proper respect and such to what Robin brought to the table in terms of the songwriting and his vocals. And I also don't want to let down, you know, Jim and Roger Dale and Nick.
Pressure. Even though they're on the record, I mean, they have to go back and relearn everything. So
but it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's material that they worked up, you know, in collaboratively, and, you know, but yeah, I mean, they still have to go and do it as well, but again, it's their thing, and I'm, I'm filling in. You know, I'm a hired gun for this show.
I think I'm sure you have this mentality, but just, hey, it's a cool opportunity. Let's go have fun.
Oh, totally.
I can only do the best that I can with what the situation is. And I think a lot of the people that are going to be watching you are going to have that knowledge and hopefully that perspective as they watch you of, look, this guy didn't sing on the album.
That one person that says he didn't sing that one line right. That's going to be the one person that'll be me. It might be.
I'm going to be in the crowd going. Yep.
And you know what? I mean,
it's joking.
Going back to the tourniquet thing for a minute. I mean, obviously, I did that for a long time. We did a lot of work. You know, we played a lot of shows, and so there were a lot of reviews. I can't remember any of like the good ones, the positive ones. You know, it's cool that they were positive, but you're like, awesome, they like the record. The one that I remember was from some online blog, it's gone now, that called Satan Stole My Teddy Bear, and they hated me so bad. And that's the one that I can,
that's human nature. That's just human nature.
But again, bringing it back to Rain of Glory, let's say, you know, I don't know how many people that place holds, but let's say there's, you know, 500 people there,
mm-hmm.
and 499 of them, you know, thought that everything was awesome and that we did everything perfectly and that, you know, I did a great job filling in for Robin. But one person hated it. That is the person that will take up rent-free lodging in my head and that I obsess over until the next time I play.
Well, if there's a person that does that, they need to get a life. But I think what's cool is that this is the environment and the crowd that you're playing for is open-minded and just a loving crowd from what I've seen from people that go there and people I know that go there. I'm hoping and praying that won't be even one person does that. And everyone, if people are listening that are going to be there, go have fun. Have fun
Robin
with the band.
Robin went up on the end of that line, and you took it down. You're right. I suck.
Hey, just imagine being Adam Lambert and as many people that say, you're not Freddie Mercury.
I'm one of those people.
I am too.
I don't know why they do that.
I don't.
I think just, he's awful.
For the love of God, bring Mark Martel in there and let him do it.
Or better yet, you know what? Just retire the brand.
Yeah. I still want to see. I did see Queen when they had Paul Roger from Bad Company singing live.
Either.
It was, you know, look, no one's going to be Freddie Mercury. No. It's never going to be the same. And there's no John Deacon up there either. And John Deacon is people don't realize what a talented songwriter all those guys are, but even bass player.
He's like the Mike Portnoy of that band.
Yeah, but
he's the spark. It still sounds like Queen without John.
It was still but awesome.
Missing something.
It was a great show to see them because they also did some Bad Company songs and Free songs. And but then, I mean, they came out and they were playing Tie Your Mother Down. And I'm not going to lie, I started to cry. I'm like, I'm seeing Brian May play the song in person right now. And it was amazing. And but I mean, the whole point was, I think the pressure, hopefully not too much pressure on yourself, because there's people out there like Adam Lambert that probably have a lot more, and
probably
people are going to be critical no matter what. And but hopefully these people are accepting and open minded and just, hey, have a good time. Enjoy it.
And that's the goal. But I'm also really hard on myself, and I want it to be perfect, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it too. No one likes making mistakes.
It's been a minute since I've been on stage. I haven't played with another band in forever, you know, so some of that is messing
with
my head.
Was Tourniquet your last live show that you played, or have you played anything since?
I mean, I've you know, popped up here and there, you know, doing little things here and there with friends, but I haven't played like a show since since I was with that band.
Well, and maybe once you're done, it'll be over with, and you're like, man, maybe, hopefully you're not like, man, I should have enjoyed that a little bit more instead of thinking about that one guy out there. Maybe
I'm going to have fun. But again, I mean, it's the difference between, you know, we had played together enough that you weren't on autopilot. You know, you're conscious of what you were doing, you know, making sure that you did your job. But we all knew the material and it played with each other enough that if somebody, you know, Ted missed a fill and came in, you know, on the next piece incorrectly, Aaron could just keep, you know, chugging and go, oh, wait, I'm supposed to do that. And boom, you know, and we'd know it, but the crowd might not necessarily know it, you know, but if I, you know, sang the wrong, you know, words or whatever and got lost, you know, Aaron could jump in and, you know, Aaron is the unsung hero of that band in a lot of ways. He saved us from ourselves a lot of times.
I know you told me that when we were hanging out that day.
Jack, Aaron and just Jacksonville train wreck. But it's that's some of the pressure of this gig. Again, I'm looking forward to it, but there's not that there's not that security in being with people that you've worked with long enough to know that if I drop the ball, they're going to, you know, if I stumble, they're going to catch me. Now, I mean, Nick is an unknown quantity to me, but I know that he's played for a long time and he's, you know, he's a pro. Roger Dale Martin, I've, you know, known, you know, obviously Vengeance Rising, Die Happy, you know, all that. And I mean, Chaffin.
Yeah, Deliverance and
Jim Chaffin, dude, Crucified, you know,
Crucified, Deliverance, Crucified. He's played with about everybody.
So I mean, I'm gonna be playing with, you know, really good, you know, seasoned, experienced pro guys, but I'm just afraid that I'm gonna be the weak link this time. So we'll see. It'll be, it's gonna be good.
Yeah,
this is just my neuroses, and you know, it's gonna be fun. It'll be nice to be in that environment and back on stage in front of people, and I'm just going to enjoy it.
Will you guys be meeting for getting together for the first time that day of, or will you try to get together beforehand?
I think I'll meet Roger on Friday. I won't meet Nick till like Saturday night. Jim, I've met before. I just saw Jim a few weeks back here in Nashville.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be the first time meeting the other two. It'll be like, hi, I'm Luke. Oh, hi, I'm, you know, okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. You'll be introducing the band, and that's, you're actually introducing yourself to the band. Hey, I'm Luke. I'm nice Luke. To meet you.
You're Roger.
3 songs in. Well, man, I hope, I pray and I hope that goes well. I'm sure it will, man. People, make sure you're recording it for YouTube in case there's a big train wreck. No, I'm just joking.
If there's a train wreck, I'll probably just
Like you said, you're all seasoned veterans, you included, and I think it's gonna be cool. I mean, if people won't be mad at anything, they could have said, well, Luke could have said no, and then no one would even be performing. So
I'm sure they would have found somebody else. I'm honored.
I am available.
I'm sure they could have found
anyone. Yeah, I could have done it.
Not sure why they picked me, but I'm happy they did.
Oh, there's plenty of good reasons they picked you, man. So it's cool that that's happening.
Because I'm bald, and so is Roger Dale. So
yeah,
balance things out. There'll be two guys with hair and two guys that are bald, and
it'll exactly.
Just be really
How many songs are you doing?
We're doing the whole album, not in sequence, but we're gonna do the whole record.
Okay. And nothing extra, just that. Okay, because no. I can guarantee, and I think I asked you or. And I don't think you want to do it, but you know, people are going to be wondering if you're going to do a Tourniquet song.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Speaking of Tourniquet, obviously since last time I spoke to you, Ted passed away suddenly and really unexpectedly. And, you know, I know you want to be, both of us want to be careful or just kind of mindful of what we say here. Just because I think people listened before know there was some tension, a little bit of history there, but, and I know things have probably changed for you, but I didn't know what you want to put out there. That maybe you haven't said, or you have said since Ted's passing, that you feel comfortable talking about.
I mean, it was a shock. I mean, I woke up that morning, and I've reconnected with Gary over the last few years, and there was a text from him saying that Ted was gone, and I'm like, who? And he's like, Ted. I'm like, shut up. So I jump on social media, and sure enough, you know, it was true. I'm still in some ways kind of processing it. I mean, it's coming up on a year, you know, next month. It was complicated. You know, he was super creative and super driven, and it was awesome to work with him and do those creative projects and travel all over the place and play in front of people, you know, with him. But yeah, it wasn't great when we parted ways and we hadn't spoken in a while. I don't have any regrets about, you know, where things were left from my side. But I really just thought that, you know, in time that, you know, one or the other of us would, you know, pick up the phone or shoot an email and, you know, say something stupid and we'd reconnect and, you know, because being in a band is cool, you know, making records and stuff is cool, but, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really miss that as much, but I do miss my friend. And I miss my friend, but I think that's really all I can. I don't know how to.
I think it just also, I'm sure it hits you like, man, it always does when things like this happen, how life is short. And a lot of times, you know, even like I had one of my buddies passed away a couple months ago, and just thinking, man, it's just crazy. Like, I wish I would have talked to him more. I wish I would have texted him or talked to him like that. I mean, my friend called me Friday and he died Saturday, and I looked at the phone, it was busy, and didn't take the phone call. And then I called him back and he didn't answer. And then 2 days later, he was gone. And I'm like, golly, you just replay things in your head of like, what if I did this or could have said this or just talk to him or I don't know, makes you try to appreciate things from your past or friendships, or even though, like you said, you guys didn't end on the, and you always assumed that it would probably work out. I mean, I not to the level of Tourniquet, but you know, that kind of happened with my band Pacifico, where things ended really nasty with them telling me I'm either fired or I can quit the band, because at the time I was married, my first wife, and they had this manager up in New York that wound up screwing them over, who told them that I wouldn't be serious because I'm married and you need to get rid of that drummer. And they did. And I was pissed. And I didn't talk to them for a while. And, you know, things, like you said, like you thought would happen with Ted, did happen with us. Fortunately, we're friends again. And, you know, the singer was he was my best friend. And just to do that stuff really hurt. And thankfully, you know, we've gotten back to record and do things. But unfortunately, you know, that didn't get to happen with Ted. And I mean, this is just me, my thoughts coming out right now. But, you know, part of me wonders, like, why did Ted keep this a secret or not? He just didn't share it. Maybe that's the kind of guy he was, but not at least give, at least it would have been nice to maybe give opportunity to people, maybe like your situation or others, just to maybe say their goodbyes or know what's going on. And look, let's make up.
I don't know why he handled it the way he did. From what I understand, his siblings were there at the end and got to say goodbye. But nobody had any idea that he was sick.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a lot of ways that's very on brand for him, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very private. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah. In a way, I kind of I respect that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people sometimes I could be guilty of it, but they get on social media and like, woe is me. Look at me. I got this problem going on, or I'm sick again. And after you do that so many times, people are just like, I don't care. I don't care. It's...
And the flip side of that too, though, is, I mean, even if, you know, he'd put it out there quietly, you know, I'm sure that he knew he was ill and probably knew that, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Did he really want to run the risk? I mean, because this is how I would look at it. Did he really want to run the risk of people that, you know, maybe had a bone to pick or whatever, you know, legitimately or not, coming out of the woodwork and making him nuts when he's just trying to stay comfortable and make the best of the time that he had left and enjoy, you know, whatever time he still had with his wife, you know? So, you know, again, his choice and I respect it.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever issues there were between, you know, him and me, I honestly don't know what all of those are. It came out of nowhere when we parted. I owe him a lot. You know, I learned a lot about being in a band. I learned a lot about making records. Again, I got to tour and play all over the world, and he was a key, you know, part of that. I owe him, you know, big time. And I loved him, you know, whatever the circumstances were, you know, of me not being in that band anymore doesn't change the fact that, you know, that I loved him. So it's a big loss.
Yeah. And I hope, I don't know, I just, maybe people, if you are out there and you going through something with someone that used to be a friend, maybe it's time to reach out someone, no matter who does it, because I mean, just, it sucks, man. I mean, we all go through this though, with friends sometimes. I mean, being in a band, like, you know, obviously is compared to marriage, but with like four people married or five people married, or it's tough, man. You go through so much. And it's not like you're going to be best friends every day with each other, because everyone's human, has their little tics and personalities that are different, and you can rub each other wrong. And
every band is different, so the dynamic is, you know, different. So even if you, I mean, whether you all live in the same house or whether you're spread out across the country, you know, like we were at that point, you know, it's still, it feels so intense and, you know, and all that, that, you know, everything feels like it's the most important thing because it's happening in your band, you know? So, I don't know where I was going with that, but, you know,
that's all good.
The answer to your question is, yeah, I mean, it's been rough. Last year was just a grinder, you know, between him, a really good friend of mine, who's a pastor that I'd served under when I used to work for church, and Michael Bloodgood, mm-hmm. all passed away like within a few weeks of, you know, time. So yeah. that was very, very difficult.
I was going to say something there, but just kind of moving past that and close out here in a little bit, man, because this was kind of thrown together really quickly, and I appreciate you joining me to, you know, have you, I've been follow-up, well, so. I've been wanting to have you on. I mean, it's so cool that you were my first guest, and where the show has gone from here, I've been very honored to have everybody that I've gotten to talk to so far, and man, I would have loved to have Ted come on and chat with him, and, you know, because he was a big influence as a drummer on me, and Tourniquet was one of my favorite bands growing up there. I'm kind of curious, have you talked to him, the other guy? I know you talked to Gary, but do you ever talk to Victor at all?
We emailed a little bit after Ted passed. Actually, I need to reach out to him again. I was I saw George Ochoa yesterday, and obviously he knows Victor really, really well. We were talking about Victor, and I was like, you know, I should reach out to that guy.
Yeah.
I'm in touch with Mendez sporadically, you know. He's kind of a force of nature. I love that guy, but he's really hard to pin down.
Yeah.
But that's basically it at this point. I've emailed a couple times, but it's yeah.
Yeah, just I understand. I was going to ask you, because in the past you've done some solo stuff with or outside stuff with Gary on some of his stuff not too long ago, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys discussed doing anything in the future again?
He just put out a single with me on it just in the last couple of weeks, which ironically we tracked it a while back, and mm-hmm. then the Flood project really took off, so it was like, yeah, we can't release this now because you know I've got this other thing, which hey, that's fine. Yeah. But I think it turned out really, really well. It was a cover of No Quarter from Zeppelin. But yeah, we've talked about doing other stuff. We live closer to each other now that I'm in Nashville. I mean, he's still a few hours away, but it's
where's he at these days?
He just moved, but that's his story.
Okay, because for some reason I thought he was in Texas or something.
No,
maybe
no, no. He was in New England, but he's moved recently.
Okay, and what's that address?
He's another, like, now that I just said that, I'm like, oh wait, should I have said that? Gary is all of us, honestly, in that band, we're very private, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, you know, by slipping up and saying that he moved away from where he'd been living.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to, you know.
That's okay. But well, and then he's got the Flood, another Flood album coming out soon,
yeah,
too. So
yeah, Flood is almost done from what I hear. But yeah, we've talked about, you know, I have every intention of having him, you know, on at least a song on my next record. You know, there's a couple things that as I'm demoing them out, I'm like, Gary would sound good on this part, you know. Or so yeah, I'm definitely gonna pull him in. And yeah, I mean, if he calls and I can do it, I'm there. I'd love working with Gary.
Yeah,
I would work with all of the former members at this point.
Are there anybody that you've made connections with in Nashville that could be a possibility of kind of teaming up and maybe doing stuff? I mean, like you doing the Reign of Glory, but anybody else?
I did a backing vocal. Jamie Rowe has a new project that mm-hmm. he put together, Calamity Kills, and
okay.
I did a vocal on there. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not looking to put, you know, a project together or join somebody else's project at this point, but I do want to network a little bit and find people to play with so that, you know, if the opportunity arises, I can just make a couple calls and boom, instant band. So.
Well, that'd be cool. And hopefully you get another solo album out sometime soon. And like I said, I mean, I really enjoyed the Pop Disaster. I thought that was more fitting for what your style, your vocal range style, whatever you want to call it. I thought it fit really well.
It's more organic. I mean, with the Tourniquet stuff, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, I could do and, you know, arguably I was good at, but it wasn't unnatural, but it was less natural than, you know, what I would do on my own. Whereas the Pop Disaster and you know, even like Mystery, that's just kind of what I hear in my head. So I think that and even Chris's production, you know, Chris produces me differently than like, you know, Matoy or Farachi or Neil Kernan would do with my vocals. Mm. And rightly so. I mean, you know, you're gonna record and mix metal differently than you're gonna, you know, something that's more vocal oriented. You know, my stuff is more, I mean, it's definitely about the players and the parts and you know, everything needs to come together, but it's definitely more centered around the vocal, you know, whereas with Tourniquet, it was definitely more about, you know, the drums for sure, but it was drums and guitars and oh yeah, there's vocals too. You know, and that's fine. That's just how that kind of music works.
Okay, let's end this because I'm gonna do some fun question. I did this with you on the first episode, so I really didn't follow through with any other guest. I didn't really kind of do this. I did have the one question I would ask everyone, but what have you been binge watching lately? Anything you've been binge watching? Any good shows?
The Bear. It's a Hulu show about a dude opening a restaurant. Season 2 just dropped, and so we've been binging that.
Okay.
There's a show, it's a network show. I think it was on CBS or something with Kiefer Sutherland that it didn't grab me when it originally came out, but all the episodes are on Netflix now, and mm-hmm. we watched probably half the first season this week. It's a Designated Survivor.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think, is there anything else? Probably other stuff, but I watch more TV than I ought to. I should probably be working on music more.
I just watched today. I think I just watched it all today. The American Gladiators, documentary.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's on Netflix now. Yeah, I like, because I used to love that show, man. I loved American Gladiators. So it was pretty interesting watching that one. And I just finished up the Silo show, which was really good.
I
still
gotta watch that one. I
texted you about that one after, yeah. Like, I was like, pretty good show. Figured it'd be something like up your alley, but yeah,
it looks like it is. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, we have these, so let's finish these finally, and then we'll mm-hmm. go start binging something else.
I think you'll like it. I saw Clank had posted on Facebook that he just watched it and really liked it too. So, how about last concert that you've attended? Most recent
last concert I was at was
it King's X?
That was Demon Hunter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Living Sacrifice.
Yep.
I remember you telling me about that.
Living Sacrifice mopped the floor with them. They were definitely by far the superior performers that evening.
Yeah. Any good movies you've watched lately?
Fast X was awesome. I mean, it's horrible.
I haven't seen it yet.
Every conceivable way, it's so bad, and I love it. It's so they're just entertaining, you know. They know it's ridiculous. They know you know it's ridiculous, and they commit and they play it like Shakespeare. And I hope they keep making more and more and more and more of those silly, ridiculous, awful movies.
I haven't seen the last few. I did just watch the most recent John Wick movie.
Oh, so good.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
I'm sure someone's done it, but I'm like, how many people did he kill in this movie?
Somebody like, out there must have.
Yeah, there's got to be a number, because it's crazy.
It's
I guess another last question I kind of asked earlier, but I kind of mentioned new music, or what are you just listening to these days?
I don't have the luxury of just listening right now, because I've still got to finish getting a handle on the Reign of Glory set.
Right.
I mean, I've got a handle on it, but I'm not.
Go ahead and sing me a couple songs now. Go.
I'm good. No. I'm comfortable, but I still feel like, no, I need to, you know, put in the time with it and make sure that, you know, I don't have to think as hard to get to the next verse, you know? So yeah. I haven't been listening to a lot for fun, but the new Extreme album, when it hit my mailbox, cause I still buy CDs.
Yeah.
When it hit my mailbox, I listened to that all day that day.
I really like Nuno's tunes that he sings on. He's got a good voice. Yeah.
I mean, have you heard any of his solo stuff or his side stuff?
I never have. No.
I mean, he did Morning Widows. They did two records that they're not as good as Extreme, but they're great.
Yeah.
He did Population One, which was awesome.
Was that the name of the project or band that?
Yeah,
I would look it up under that.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
And then what's another one? He had another one, Drama Gods.
Okay.
I didn't like them as much, but it's still interesting. I think,
does he sing lead on this stuff or someone else?
I think he shared vocals on Drama Gods, but the other stuff, Population One and Morning Widows, is all him on vocals. He did a solo record when Extreme had first broke up in '95, called Schizophonic. It's awesome.
I'm gonna go check that out. Yeah. I've always liked Extreme, but since this new album's come out, it's made me appreciate Nuno a lot more. And I've really been diving more into like YouTube, watching Nuno or his interviews he's been doing lately too.
I just love their confidence, because I mean, this record sounds like them, but it doesn't sound like them. And I respect them to death for just saying, no, these are the songs that we want on this record. And we like these songs, and this is what we're putting out. You know, I like some songs better than others, but I love the record end to end. I see people online complaining, oh, it doesn't sound like Three Sides, or it doesn't sound like, you know, this or that. And it's like, and it shouldn't. They did those records already. This is extreme now. This is not extreme, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, shut up. Go buy some other record that you might like more, but quit trying to ruin it for me.
Yeah. Well, that's the good thing about all. I mean, we can't all like the same thing. So we're not going to like the same thing.
If we did, life would be American Idol.
Yeah. We got to have some Simons out there.
No, nobody needs Simon.
Well, man, I appreciate joining the show again. It's been fun catching up. You know, like I always do, I just let my guest always have the last word. So if there's anything you want to put out there since last time you spoke, I'll let you have it.
I know it sounds like a pat answer, but it's really the only answer I've got when asked that question. I'm thankful that, you know, this far into whatever it is that I do, that people still care and are interested, and I don't take that for granted. And I'm thankful for the interest and support.